This episode of How to Build a Tunnel podcast is called Remote Condition Monitoring in Tunnels. Riley Smith from Trimble and Arnaud Lanson from Synceve host this episode. They talk about what remote condition monitoring is, the type of geotechnical sensors involved, and how to approach it from a tunnel engineering perspective. Thanks for tuning in.
Today, I'm excited to have Arnaud joining me. Arnaud, maybe you take a minute to introduce yourself to the audience.
Of course. Hi, Riley. So my name is Arnaud Lanson. I work for Synceve Limited. I've been working for this company for about 4 years now. My background is civil engineering first. I graduated as a civil engineer from France, started to work on large tunnel projects and excavation projects for Bachy-sur-l'Étanche, then joined Soldata Sixth Sense on the Crossrail project in London. Worked for them for 2 years, and after that joined Synceve to develop our international activity abroad in regions like Australia, North America, Europe. So I was the first international player for Synceve. And since then we've been trying to push our technology as far as we could.
Very cool. Well, thank you for that. So today we're going to talk specifically about remote condition monitoring in tunnels, and this is a really interesting topic, because whenever I read, let's say, tunneling publications, it's not a term I see often, but when I do, it's a really interesting article. So let's start with the kind of basics. What to you, I guess in your own words, what is remote condition monitoring?
Yep. So in general, the tunnel aside, remote condition monitoring is exactly the same as monitoring. So you need a location. It's either a structure or a geotechnical location. You need a risk. Either it's a settlement or something that could potentially damage, create a cost loss or create a danger for people involved in this activity. So location, risk, and after that, you will need some measurements, some parameters that you need to measure. So this could be the strain in the structure, it could be the inclination of a part of the structure, settlement, pressure, all these parameters that could warn you about this risk, prevent this risk. So remote condition monitoring allow you to detect this parameter, measure this parameter, and forward them to the decision makers without any sort of wires, without any sort of visual check. It's all done through wireless sensors, so in a way more effective way.
So the remote part is the wireless piece, so not needing bundles and bundles of wires, and that's an issue in its own self. And then the condition monitoring is having, as you said, a structure or like an asset. Mm-hmm. And then the monitoring is the kind of the parameter and risk piece.
Right. Yeah. Look at this. Look at this parameter. Detect this parameter, and provide a way for the decision makers to look at these parameters, potentially set alarms, set triggers. And when they look at that, when they look at the trends, when they look at what's happening on these different parameters, make a decision. Do we continue to work? Do we reduce the activity? Or do we escape the structure a bit because it's about to collapse?
Which we don't want to happen, but that's what we're trying to find out.
Exactly.
So just before we go forward, just for anyone who's tuning into this talk, just in the chat, let us know where you're from, or if you have any questions about remote condition monitoring and tunnels, and or if you have any specific questions for Arnaud, and we can get to those as we go on with the chat. So we talked. You had a great explanation about what remote condition monitoring is. Mm-hmm. So when do you see that it's most often used or required, let's say, for a tunnel project? Is it for the start of a project? Let's say I want to build a new tunnel, or is it for after a tunnel's been built and operating, or maybe in a somewhere in between?
So at Sensib, we actually have both cases. And in terms of project, I would call that probably 50-50. The first one, as you said, is when a new tunnel is about or is being built. Obviously, you need to make sure that both the structure itself, but also all the adjacent buildings need to be protected or need to be watched. So the tunnel itself, obviously, while it's being digged, obviously, you need to make sure that it's going the right direction, but also need to make sure that it doesn't collapse on itself, that there is no convergence issue, that changes in these parameters don't stop the tunneling, the TBM going through the right path. So that's on the tunnel itself. And after that, on adjacent buildings, let's take an example of a tower right above your tunnel. Obviously, if you shake it too much, if you create a settlement, if you create a movement on the ground, obviously there is a risk, as we said before, for this adjacent building. And therefore, you need to make sure and control that this risk or that this movement don't make it collapse itself. That's the first part for new tunnels. Mm-hmm. The second part is for existing structures. In the UK, where Sensib is based, we have a lot of that. Historical building, historical tunnels that needs to be watched because they're aging, because the brick layer is crumbling, because you're building a new asset close to this historical tunnel. And therefore, you need to watch that in a different way. New tunnels, it's fairly easy because you know exactly what should happen in terms of where the tunnel will go, what sort of structure you're going to put in place, what you have around. For an older structure, an aging structure, it can be a little more difficult because obviously you can guess what will happen on this aging structure. You can guess how the structure will behave because of the new construction. But you need to be a little more careful.
Yeah. So those are two really unique situations. Now, maybe it's the same for both, but who is typically the one, let's say, deploying or managing the system for monitoring?
For monitoring? In general, if we look in the past, they would have been more so experts in this on this topic, and that's still very much the case. When you have new tunnels, usually you're looking at large geotechnical engineering companies, or you're looking at the tunnel companies themselves to watch around their TBM, their tunneling machines. You also have the large contractors that have these requirements to make sure that their new structure does not impact the environment. So this will be the historical users of remote condition monitoring for tunneling. But more and more, you also have smaller companies or less experts users, surveyors, for example, or smaller firms that we're doing maybe less expert monitoring works, maybe only on facades or only on historical building adjacents, but that feel that through innovation, through new technology, and through easy to use solutions like Sensib, they can jump in on some part of this project. I'm not saying it's on all projects because the large ones, if you take, for example, right now, the Grand Paris in France, these are extremely big projects and they need a lot of experts. But when it comes to small projects or section of the project, smaller firms can feel now confident to take that on.
Yeah, so this may sound like repeating, but so the advances in technology and especially communications as well, that's kind of opening the door for, let's say, other types of professionals, like you mentioned, surveyors, geomatics professionals, to kind of get into this realm of condition monitoring on, let's say, starting on the smaller scale. Mm-hmm. And then those more complex projects that may have a lot more parameters and elements where that expertise, like you mentioned, the geotechnical expertise, mm-hmm. is needed, then, and that's still a kind of a core competency that's needed.
Correct. That's very much our approach, and in our DNA, we both want to work with the experts and bring them a solution that they can integrate within their entire package, because they can use not only our technology, not only wireless sensors, but a ton of other other solutions. But for the small companies, we want to make them confident that they can take on similar projects or some part of this project. And I think that's part of the education that both Trimble and Sensivi is trying to do, is to say, listen, there are a lot of projects out there, and it will be beneficial for any projects to have people joining this approach, because it delivers better results and it's not that hard because of the innovation, because of the progress in technology. A few years before, maybe it would have been different, because if we talk only about wireless, it was difficult. You might need a coding PhD to program your wireless sensor, to integrate your geotechnical sensor within your wireless box. The wireless system might not have been as reliable as now, but through progress and through different version of the technology, Sensiv have brought the technology to a point where someone can take that on and quite easily integrate that within its portfolio, whether it's optical or it's just manual survey, automated, whatever they're already doing. It doesn't require an extra level of expertise.
Cool. You've talked about why it's used, right? We're managing structures, understanding if anything is essentially falling apart, for lack of a better word. But in your experience, it's obvious to me why we would need this, but is it regulated, or is there requirements typically on let's say a new tunnel project or an existing project where the municipality or the state or the local regulatory body puts in some kind of statute that says that this needs to be done? Or is it more project based, like this project goes through this type of soil and it needs this type of monitoring system?
Of course. Well, I guess there will be different levels for this sensor, but the first level will be, first of all, it's region-based. Different countries or even different larger region will have different regulation based on their history with projects. If they had big problem in the past, maybe they'll put harsher regulations just to make sure it doesn't happen again. Some other regions might just be more innovative and bring on new technology, so they will accept more things on their projects. So first level will be regions, we'll track that differently. And after, as you said, project after project, they will determine what they need based on the ground nature, on what structure they have next to the tunnel itself, what type of tunnel is being dig as well. These are all important factors on what you can accept. But I guess coming back on a previous point about the education, here also, not only we need to educate the users of new technology or existing technology, but we also need to educate the deciders, because most of the time these requirements are easily copied and pasted from a previous project, just because, well, it has worked in the past, they've seen it working, so they won't take it further and try maybe newer technology. Whereas if the technology has been proven, we've seen success with this technology, maybe not in this region or maybe not on a recent project from this specific company, I feel that if we educate these deciders, they could better their next project by accepting this technology and by putting them in the requirements.
Very good. So when is the decision made by, as you say, a stakeholder or contractor, someone on the project who will be deploying this system? Mm-hmm. When are they typically deploying or making the decision to deploy it? So in a new tunnel construction project, is it right at the start that they start adding these sensors and all of the the details to get this going, or is it maybe later on in the project after they've started to bore through a certain amount of the tunnel?
Well, I guess normally and more what we see is that this decision is taken way in advance. So even before any work starts, because, well, first of all, you need to plan better. That's part of the projects, how they go now. But also because when it comes to monitoring, you need to put in place a longer baseline, if that makes sense. When it comes to monitoring, especially adjacent buildings, you need to make sure that the movement that you will detect are only created by the new tunnel that you're digging. You don't want a seasonal movement affecting your data, changing the movement of the ground or changing the movement of adjacent structures just because it rains more in winter. That's as easy as that. But I remember an example on Crossrail, for example, they had quite large movements related to either the tide that were higher or lower at different parts of the season, or simply the ground being more humid as well during the winter season. And that obviously can affect large area and create movements quite like what would be created due to the settlements under a tunnel or around the tunnel. So because of that, projects usually in terms of requirement tend to decide of what's going to be put in quite far in advance. That's the first answer. When they choose an historic or standard way to monitor things, they can adapt it if they see that this solution is not bringing what they want. If they feel that they're missing some data, for example, when we look at an optical way of looking at 3D movements, sometimes because of the frequency of the readings or the cycle, you'll get a really good idea of what's happening in 3D, X, Y, Z, but you might miss immediate information because you have to wait until the end of your cycle, or you might have to wait until you have a good line of sight to get this information. So that's where the complementary aspect of the technology comes into place. You can have your 3D as your 3D optical survey as your main solution, but adding wireless sensors can add this extra information that gives the certainty of is there movement or not. So that will probably come later on during the project if they feel that the requirements are not enough.
That example of the tides is really interesting. It's kind of, it explains how there's so many different factors that need to be accounted for and possibly measured whenever you're building one of these projects, right? It's not just about necessarily, let's say, the type of soil, but there's all these variety of other things, right? The water table and variety of other factors that could really influence that.
No, very, very much. When we look at the latest large project that is happening right now in the UK, High Speed 2, tunnels haven't started at all yet due to Brexit and the current situation, but it's been slightly delayed. But we have thousands of sensors installed, for example, in the Birmingham region, where they will build a new station and they will start digging a tunnel towards London. Well, in this region, we've had sensors for more than years that both monitor, yes, the early work around existing railways, around existing structure, highway viaduct as well, but also on locations where the tunnel will go through, just to make sure that people understand far in advance what will happen through the next 2 to 3 years when the tunnel will happen. So it's really good that now people are thinking about that in advance, are planning for that, because we've seen too many projects where people were surprised where a trend was starting due to ground movement that were not linked at all to with the activity, but purely about the earth and the environment changing through seasons, really.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it before, but I think it's good to bring it up, especially with, I'm sure there's quite a few geospatial, geomatics folks that are watching this. But we talked about the kind of the integration of the geodetic piece, which is the optical, the total stations, GNSS, where we're getting absolute positions on the Earth. and the more what would we call them, the more relative sensors, which are actually measuring certain movement on a specific object structure asset. Mm-hmm. So what's a why would that, or maybe it isn't, in your opinion, why would that integration of those two be important?
Well, I guess both have their advantages. If you look historically, everyone wants absolute, and that's still true. Absolute is what you need to get to understand how everything moves together. But when it comes to the deliverables of the actual absolute system, when it comes to accuracy, when it comes to potentially missing an information or potentially getting every part of this information around a project, it can be costful. It can be not as reliable from time to time. And in terms of frequency, you are limited by either the number of toll stations or manual readings that you can do per day on a project. That's as simple as that. So usually what we'd say at Senseeve is that wireless sensors are complementary in a sense that if you're missing a piece of information behind a structural corner or in the region of your TBM on your tunneling machine because you cannot get your line of sight, because it is just not possible to get these optical values reliably in this area, sensors can complement your understanding of what's happening on the structure at this time and give you, a package of information or a correlation of information that can reduce the risk in this area. So it's not one replacing the other, but it's more so the two add together can reduce the risk even further and give you better data to interpret what's going on your site.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So for anyone tuning in now or just recently, so Arno and I are talking about remote condition monitoring. What I want to get into now a little bit is about Senseeve and mm-hmm. and how that applies, what you do at Senseeve, how that applies to remote condition monitoring. And mm-hmm. So take it away, Arno.
Of course. Well, so Senseeve was created in 2005, so quite a while back, out of UCL, University College of London, in the UK. At the beginning, the whole idea was simply to develop a good, solid wireless platform, regardless of the application. But really quickly, the founders decided to push it towards the CV engineering industry, if that makes sense. So take solid wireless sensors and put them on construction sites, on tunneling sites, on railways, and make sure that they continue to work and that they still bring back reliable data from this ground. That's where our motto came along: reliable, robust, and precise. Reliable because you always want your geotechnical or structural data to come back to you, whatever is the situation. Robust, that's the quality of the product itself. You know that internals, the environment is pretty rough, but that's the same on construction sites at the bottom of an excavation. If your sensor is affected by humidity, temperature, shocks, that doesn't go well and people will not use this technology. So robust is the second point, making sure that it works in this environment. And finally, precise is the goal of getting the best data possible out of this wireless sensor. So when you look at the tilt of one of your tunnel segments, when you look at the convergence between two sides of your tunnel through a laser beam, the strain that you get out of one of the segments, all the movements of the adjacent buildings. Every time our goal is to reduce as much as possible the noise that you can have and the false reading that you can get through temperature, through humidity, through external factors that are not created actually by the construction and the activity. So this is the Senseeve motto: reliable, robust, precise. And that's how we're trying to apply it to all applications, tunnel or outside. When it comes to tunnel, as I said before, in terms of projects, the real start in tunnels was in the UK with TfL. So in London, the tunnel, the London Metro in 2009, we already have had some dynamic projects where we're installing tilt sensors on tunnel segments. So if you've been in London, you know that a lot of our lines are made of metal segments put together. They're quite old, quite historical. But the idea is that while they were doing jet grouting activity, injection activity along these lines, the goal of the tilt sensors on these segments was to detect the convergence extremely quickly around the minute and make sure that this information was forwarded to the injection teams so they could potentially stop the activity if they had breached a trigger or created too much disturbance. So that was back all the way in 2009. And that's where the tunnel activity started. From them, we had a lot of small to large projects around tunnel all over the world. The latest ones that I can think of is one, well, right now with the SNCF in France, where we're using our laser sensor, optical sensors to monitor the convergence on a railway tunnel. So here, that's an existing tunnel, but monitoring the convergence through the cords of this tunnel. In the region of Toulouse. Large project, we had the Botlek tunnel in the Netherlands, where we had almost 500 tilt sensors that are still monitoring the movement of each tunnel segment, so concrete segments, to monitor the convergence of this tunnel. A little bit closer in, we had in the UK the Northern Line extension, where we even embedded the sensors within the segments. So all the projects that I've talked about before, the sensors are either attached to the structure, attached to the tunnel. On this specific project with the customer, we've embedded the sensor within the concrete. So while the segments were being poured, even before they were put within the tunnel, we've integrated tilt sensors, temperature sensors, and strain sensors within the segment. So to understand everything that was happening within what we would call a smart segment. So here, that's also a strength of Sensive. Obviously, delivering core products, part of our catalog, that's quite easy, but also the flexibility of delivering new solutions if the customers require it. So these are only a few examples of projects that we had further backed or more recently.
That's really interesting. I like the example of this. Almost to this prefabrication of putting the sensors inside of the segments. That's really cool example. Is that becoming more and more of a norm in tunnel construction or even in other construction aspects?
There are always requests, and I think contractors are more keen to try new things. But the reality is that when it comes to the logistic of putting that in place and potentially the cost of doing that, it can be a little bit restrictive. So when it comes to simply monitoring the tilt of a tunnel segment, might be easier to simply put one of our nano sensor, which is a sensor the size of my thumb, pretty much. Stick it on the segment, and it doesn't require as much preparation. If you want to, you also keep all your clearances for the TBM or for the activity that's going on through the tunnel. So in reality, it's not only always needed, but some contractors are looking at that more and more, and that's part of all the smart approach of bringing new prefabricated segments, installing or preparing the tunnel in a more efficient way. If you have all your planning in place, if you know exactly where each segment is going, you have the ability to do that, and Sensive can help with that.
That's really cool. That the size of your thumb is how small they're getting. Is that a trend of the technology? Is it's getting smaller and smaller, and we're being able to package it in a way that most the average person wouldn't even tell that there's a sensor there.
Yeah. So in technology, the saying is the smaller the better. So it's not that's the way we think about it. I guess there are a few restrictions about that. Sensive is pretty good at reducing the size of the sensors when it comes to your nano portfolio. As I said, you're looking at sensors that really the size of my thumb that can last up to 5 years in terms of battery life. So that's amazing, with a reporting of every 30 minutes. That's what you can now achieve within tunnels or outside. And when it comes to the standard sensors, they will be probably the size of my fist, a cube of 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters, and they will deliver battery life up to 15 years. So I guess when it comes to making it smaller and smaller, there is always the limit of the battery life and the quality of the sensors that you will use as well within your sensor. But yeah, as far as technology goes, Sensiv will deliver probably the smaller sensor with the best battery life that you can find on the market, right?
That's really cool. I've been I apologize. I've been neglecting to look at the questions that we've been asked.
Yeah, but
I just took a glance, and here's a good one for you, Arno. So this was asked by Hazem. Does the data acquired from these wireless sensors need corrections of any type?
Well, that. Usually what I tell our clients is that it's not really my job to say, but if we look at specifically tilt sensors, for example, going back on our motto, reliable, robust, precise, this last point, the precise, is really important when it comes to understanding the choice of components that we'll use. A lot of sensors manufacturer make the assumption that because you use lesser quality components or a lesser quality sensor, then you have to do temperature correction or humidity correction, or make sure that you reduce this noise by a certain type of calculation. Well, in reality, if you use a good quality sensor or a higher quality sensor, as Sensiv does, usually you keep this stability whatever the environment is. Mm-hmm. In tunnel, it's pretty simple. Humidity can be a factor, but usually temperature is not a big deal. But when it comes to structure outside, we have sensors that are installed in the Australian desert. We have sensors that are installed in Scandinavia, in Canada, and they work as well and as with a stable fact. In the same way, everywhere we install them, that's a guarantee that we offer. So when you look at your sensor, usually if a manufacturer tells you have to implement this correction, it might not be the best sign, to be honest.
Well, it's good for anyone who's doing the research on what they need. So I think that's a good point to end this chat on. I really appreciate and thank you, Arno, for joining us. Now, before we sign off, if anyone's interested in finding out more about remote condition monitoring or Sensiv and the sensors that you create, how's the best way that they can get in touch with you or someone else at Sensiv?
Yep. So we obviously have a website, sensiv.com. That's the simplest way to discover our portfolio of products, of both platform wireless, flat mesh, that is a mesh network, but also GeoOne, that is a point-to-point network. So it's worth looking at the different ways to approach the wireless connectivity. Look at our core sensors that we create ourselves in London, but also the integration that we can do, how we can integrate geotechnical sensors from other companies, or we can also integrate with other software like Trimble 40, for example. That's really important to see these connections when you select your solution. And after that, you can obviously find us on LinkedIn, either through myself or on the page sensiv.com. Feel free to connect with us and ask us questions there.
Agreed. That's a good way to put it. And so you heard it here, folks. If you need to know anything about the remote condition monitoring, you know who to talk to. So, well, thanks again, Arno, and really appreciate this. And I hope it was informative for everyone. We got a few comments coming in, so we appreciate everybody around the world that tuned in to listen to us chat about this. And maybe we'll see you again in the future, Arno, on this talking about tunnels.
Hope so, Riley. Hope so. Thanks. Thanks a lot for having me, and see you soon.
Awesome. All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye.